Thank you, Mr. Toler, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. Good to have everybody here. Welcome to our guests. Good to see you all. And hello to Paintsville. And we were down there last week and got to visit with you a little bit. So it's good to not see you, but be with you again. So today, I wanted to take just a few minutes. And there's a couple of scriptures I wanted to take a look at. I wanted to take a look at them and just see what we can pull out of them. And if you will, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. That's where we'll start and spend our next few minutes at. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll look at verses 22 through 24 to start with. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 22. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Verse 24, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Because that came from the New King James Version. There might be a few words different in the translation you might be using, but what we see here is the first thing Paul does here in this transition, if you will. He lays out three steps to trigger the Hebrew Christians' latent memories so that they will absolutely be armed with a foundational incentive to rouse themselves, to fire up themselves, if you will, the spirituality that they have, and then start moving and continue moving forward. Because what he says here, in verse 22 through 24, he makes three exhortations I want to take a quick look at here. So the first one, right off the bat here, starting verse 22, he says, "Let us draw near." That's what he opens up with, "Let us draw near." In other words, he's saying, let's get moving, get moving. He says, maybe just to rephrase this, he says, take advantage of this privilege of coming before God. It absolutely is a privilege. And we are invited to take advantage of it. We're commanded, actually. You'll see. And he goes on to say, and believe without doubting. Believe without doubting. Knowing your sins are forgiven and remembering that God is faithful and merciful to forgive them. So that's what we're starting to see in these sections of Scripture. This is very encouraging. This is for all of us. You think back that from the history we know that in the performance of their duties, the priests, they had to wash their hands and wash their feet before they could enter the holy place. Well, this is just one of the reasons that Paul here mentions water. But just as important, he's alluding to the Hebrews, their need, you and I, our need to become clean and to remain clean. He urges them, as he urges you and I, brethren, he urges us to repent of their, he talked about their lackadaisical attitude. And then he encourages them, it's a command, to meet together before God, to meet God. And we should also understand that in washing of water, using the water, it also refers to baptism. And we know this. This is the basics, if you will. The second exhortation that he makes out of this section of Scripture, in verse 23, he says, hold fast your confessions. Hold fast your confession. Paul uses a similar phrase here five times up to this point. Apparently, going back to their lackadaisical drifting, it was particularly common in their society. It was a problem, and he wants them to be aware of it. He wants them to show by their conduct that they believe, number one, in what God has promised, and carrying this on out, that they believe, he believes, we should believe in the resurrection from the dead, the hope. This is what he's telling us. So in short, he advises them. He says, remember your convictions in the awesome hope of our calling. These people, they were, unfortunately, allowing the world to get them down. And you and I can relate to this. We live in a world that has gone mad, and it's going even worse as we go along. They were allowing the world to get them down. And if we're not careful, we can do the same thing. They were succumbing to what we see or can read in their history, and we can actually see this in our day-to-day life as a what's the use attitude. What's the use? You know, we go along and we struggle and we fight, and if we're not careful, we can say, well, what's the use? You know, Christ hasn't returned yet. What's the use? Brother, that's a very, very bad attitude to allow to take over. They were not busy here confirming their calling. And I hope that the very least that we can understand that that is what we have been busy doing, and we're going to keep doing that. So Paul here, in these verses, he exhorts them to continue, to persevere. Persevere in the grace of God that God has already shown them. Hasn't God showed grace in our lives? Mercy? Love? Absolutely he has. Every day that we wake up, that we go out and face this world, it's through his grace and his mercy and his love that we get through it, and that we come home, and then here we are on Saturday. He presses the people here to yield to God and to allow themselves to be reassured that God is faithful in everything that he promises. And I think it's really interesting. You can take just a basic scripture like this, and you can look at it. And when you really dig into it and tear it apart, you can see the depths. And there's much more. I mean, we could probably make a sermon. I know we can make a sermon out of this. I won't. But there's so much more that we can get in here to. But let's look at the third point. We should pay special attention here to verse 24, this third point, in a simple word, consider. Consider. This is very emphatic when he talks about this. He urges them to think upon and strive for what? Unity. Unity. By giving conscious care to the fellow brethren, to each other. He wants the Hebrews here to give this special attention to their brothers in Christ. Their circumstances, their trials, their temptations, their weaknesses, all of their needs, whatever they're going through. And this is a true act of Christianity. In other words, they need to fire each other up. They need to promote the love of God and to carry out the common responsibilities of a Christian and help each other do this. This is iron sharpens iron. There's different ways to look at that. Knowledge, yes, but how about in actions? Absolutely. Christians do this by setting a good example, by occasional suitable exhortations. Now, that sounds like an old biblical word, right? An old biblical term. Well, let me put it in our terms. Acts of kindness. Acts of kindness to each other. And expressions of appreciation. Be encouraging. Encourage each other to do something. You know, if we, you know, in a godly way, of course, if we see somebody stumbling or falling, pick them up. And then bump them. A good bump. But bump them a little bit. Hey, come on, let's go, let's do this. This is what we need to be doing. So you notice that this exhortation here begins. Paul calls upon what we would call maybe the three big Christian values. So far in this couple of verses, we've seen him exercise faith, hope, and love. And that's the three that we're looking at. These would form the foundation, the very foundation of what the Hebrews and us must do if they are willing to avoid the slide to the lake of fire. That's just it. We don't want to go down that road. This is absolutely, brother, essential for every one of us sitting here today. These virtues must be implemented because they affect the quality of a person's relationship to God the Father and Jesus Christ. Directly affect it. So let's look at one more scripture, and this is the next scripture. It's Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Paul here goes on to instruct the Hebrews there and encourage the brethren. And it's for you and I as well. This kind of ties these, you know, four sections of, or four verses together. It says, let us not give up meeting together. Now I'm reading from the International Version. Yours is maybe a little different. The meaning's the same. As some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's what he's saying here. That's the Revised Standard. The Revised English Version says that. New King James, I believe, also says that. So when you look at the rendering here, basically it says, we should not stay away from our meetings, talking about church, as some do, but rather encourage one another, all the more because we see the day of the Lord drawing near. So since the New Testament church observed the Sabbath, and we do today, it's extremely evident when we read this what Paul's saying here. Paul's saying that we need to be in attendance at church service, especially, and he makes this point, especially as we see the end drawing near, as we get closer and closer. We have to hold to the truth. I was in a conversation with someone a while back, and we were talking about how the church keeps the Sabbath in general. The comment was made that generally, and well, let me explain the comment first. Generally, church members baptized, usually in the mid to late 70s, they seem to have a different zeal, or had a different zeal, of what the importance was of coming to church on a regular basis. Now, I say that, and that's not always true. It's not true for everyone. There are different circumstances. But the point is, have we, any of us, lost that zeal? Have we let off on that zeal just a little bit? In the past, and I remember this well, growing up in old worldwide, and in the past, we would never, ever think of missing church services to attend a wedding or visit with family that might have come in out of town. We just wouldn't have considered it. We would never, ever stay home because we were too tired. You know, we have Cybercast now, and I'm sorry, but that's not an excuse to not come to church. When someone became ill, the whole family did not stay home. That just didn't happen. We thought that everyone should still go to church. At the very least, someone from the family should represent the family at church. Where have we come? I mean, why do we not hold to those truths anymore? Have they changed? Well, no, they haven't. Since it was the most important event of the week, coming to church, we would always plan to be at services. It might ruffle some feathers, you know, maybe the family, neighbors, whatever, but we would be at church. That was a priority. We obediently honored God in coming before him at services each Sabbath. Why? Because each Sabbath was a holy convocation. Still is. Let's take one more quick look at Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 3. Verse 3 it says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So do we see that? It's right here in our Bibles. It's a holy convocation. This means that we are called together to worship God by God. In a way, it's like a weekly family reunion, and we have been given the opportunity to be a part of that. That's what he wants. He wants us to come and learn his way of life. He wants us to understand his teaching, but we can't do that if we're not here. And I know we go back and say, well, I have a Cybercast. I can watch it. Yeah, we can, but we're missing something. We're missing that connection, the connection with the fellow brethren, that iron sharpened iron. We're not getting that if we're not here. In addition, we partially fulfill, when we do this, a lot of what we just read in Hebrews 10, verse 22 through 24. So you see how these sections of Scripture all tie together. The Sabbath allows us to draw near to God and to strengthen our faith. It helps every one of us to hold fast our beliefs in the doctrines of God through the message that we hear and, again, through each other. And through the fellowship with the brethren, assembling on the Sabbath, it also enables us to know each other, to consider the needs of each other, to see how we can help, if we can help. Maybe we are the ones that need the help. Are there reasons to stay home on the Sabbath? Of course there are. You know, personal, individual sickness, when a child is ill. There's a list. I could give a list. I'm not going to take time to do that. We know what they are. But those who consider the keeping the Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath, is holy time, then we need to be here. It's unfortunate that in the past some have thought, well, the Sabbath is just a tradition. It's a tradition of what we have done for years. Well, I think about that in this way. When you look through the Bible and you look at all these inspired words of God, He inspired them through man to write in this book for us, what is the one thing that He did not inspire man to write? The Ten Commandments. He wrote them with His own finger. He put them down with His own finger for all of us to see, to understand, to live by. And He did this because His commandments are His mind, His way of thinking. And this is the very foundation of what each and every one of us should live for and stand for. So with this, the keeping of the Sabbath, again, is absolutely not a tradition. It is a direct, eternal, binding command of God. And with this, we should do absolutely all that we can to never, never forsake the assembling of ourselves together on the Sabbath. So I hope you can see, again, how we can take and just four verses that Paul put down on, you know, inspired by God, put down in the writings, and how we can see how much there is, how much meaning there is for this. And brother, that's just four. There's over 30,000+ scriptures in the Bible. So let's continue to search out everything that God says.